Father, I thank You that we love You because You loved us first. We didn't come to You looking for a salvation deal. God, You, in love, sent Your Son to become one of us, to live a perfect life in our place, to go to the cross, and there bear all of Your just punishment for our sins, to die under the weight of Your wrath that should have been on us, and 3 days later to rise in victory over sin and death and hell. And now, Father, by simple trust in Jesus, taking the gift that's been given, we can know You. Not from a distance, not as a mere acquaintance, but as our Father, as our Daddy. Forever. And every day, by Your Holy Spirit, You walk with us and You talk with us and You lead us and You guide us and You strengthen us. Lord, we just rejoice. And I pray, God, that through Your Word, You would help us to see more of Your grace as we look at it now. And Father, we thank You in advance for what You're going to do by Your Holy Spirit. Change our lives more and more by Your grace. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You can turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1 if you like. We'll get there eventually. We're going to go to some other places first. After, some of you, if you're not through this one this morning, you may not know, my family and I were gone last week. We were on an amazing trip. And after the first half day of the trip, Nathan captured the essence of our trip to Arizona real good. And it's just kind of stuck with the whole trip. He said, "This is crazy ridiculous." So check it out. This is coming into Phoenix. We're on the plane. First time for a couple of kids to fly. Karis absolutely loved it. All of us enjoy flying, so we had a great time flying. Go ahead, Paul, with the next one. We get to the resort, and this is what we see when we walk in the front door, looking straight through the lobby out the back. The desert in the background with the mountains and beautiful golf course. Just all unbelievable place. And we can't believe it. It was a gorgeous resort. The Wild Horse Pass Resort and Spa. Go ahead. We get up to our room, and I didn't have a picture of the whole room. We get up there, and there's a gift basket, fresh flowers. The lady at the hotel that had arranged our itinerary had found out about each one of us and had name tags on gifts that were specific to each family member. And I just tell you, we were blown away. We were given the royal treatment. It was like being king, queen, and princes and princesses for the day, for the week that we were there. That afternoon, that same first afternoon, we went on a horseback ride. That was the first time Karis had done a solo deal, and she had a big time. Some of those horses we were riding were actually wild horses that they had broken from the range there, and we had a Native American. This resort was on an Indian reservation, and had one of our guys was a Native American young guy named Nathan. And that was the first sunset we saw in Arizona. It's a really beautiful state. This was breakfast the next morning. And if you're trying to figure out what in the world that concoction is, it's some killer cinnamon swirl French toast. Awesome. And it's got some kind of fancy butter on top with a strawberry and all the drizzle. And I mean, the food was incredible. This was the view out the back of our room. The building over to the right was the spa where they do all the massages, and the girls got their nails done there one day, the hair done, the whole nine yards. The itinerary that they had laid out for us, I'm telling you, we got the royal treatment. It was beautiful. But that's what we woke up to every morning. And on Friday, after we had had a massage and just before the girls had their hair and nails done, We had lunch with Carlos Dansby of the Arizona Cardinals. They brought him in. Nathan and Jonas went nuts. And I just figured he'd come in and take some pictures and sign an autograph, but he sat down with us at the restaurant and ordered lunch and ate with us, and we talked with him. He's a Christian. His dad's a pastor in Birmingham, Alabama. He married his high school sweetheart, and he's been with the Cardinals for 6 years and may be in some talks with the Falcons about coming back this way. If you saw the playoff game of the Cardinals versus the Packers, he's the one that got that. When the one guy stripped the ball, he caught the ball and made the winning touchdown. And so, you know, just a special time that they had him come, and a neat man, genuine man. That afternoon, while the girls were getting their nails done, this is a funny picture, and I had some of Nathan and some of me, but Nathan and I actually made contact with a golf ball. Jonas, on the other hand, did a lot of effort and made very little. But we had a great time, and this is one of those deals. It was country come to town. It was Mazer's Country Club, and all these guys know how to play golf, and they're all decked out in golf stuff. And, you know, here we go. And I told the guy, I said, just put us somewhere where there is nobody because we don't know what we're doing. If you're a golfer, we didn't even try to play nine holes. We played two or three holes and went to the driving range. But just enjoyed being out there. It was beautiful. Had a good time together as boys. I'm trying to remember, this was just one evening. We came in from somewhere, and this was sitting in our room. It's all edible. The cactus is white chocolate. Those are chocolate-covered strawberries made to look like cows. And then the other stuff's, I think, chocolate as well. And there was always this kind of stuff every evening for us when we came in. On Saturday, we spent the day on a van tour up to the Grand Canyon. And on the way, we stopped off in Sedona, and these are the red rocks of Sedona. God did pretty good, didn't he? And then we got to the Grand Canyon. And that's just one picture. And if you've ever been there, you understand what I mean when I say you cannot capture it in a picture, because it's, you know, as far as you can see in all directions, it's just amazing. It's breathtaking. And we were not able to be there long. There was 2 foot of snow at the Grand Canyon as well that day. And we saw from 70 degrees in the desert all the way up to 30 degrees at the Grand Canyon, and so much in between. And it was just a beautiful, it's a beautiful state. Arizona's an amazing state. This is on the way down. That's the Grand Canyon in the background, and we're just jumping for joy, I guess. And the kids about killed me when they saw me put this in the slideshow. That's kind of how we felt about the whole trip. This trip, we were given this trip. All expenses paid, an amazing itinerary mapped out by a great group of people. And this is the lady that founded, she was the co-founder of the Jack and Jill Late Stage Cancer Foundation. Her name was Jill Albert. Her and her husband, John, founded the thing. And as the only organization of its kind in the nation, the Jack and Jill Late Stage Cancer Foundation provides memory opportunities for children who have a mom or dad with late-stage limited life expectancy cancer. Thousands of moms and dads in their 20s, 30s, and 40s with late-stage cancer will die each year despite the advances in research these parents are leaving behind grieving children. Jill Albert appreciated that memories become our greatest inheritance. She urged us all to never stop appreciating our family time together and to never stop dancing. And this is all off their website. The foundation flies in the face of late-stage cancer with smiles, joy, and a return to normalcy for these families. A wow experience, and that's what we got, is a unique, memorable getaway that allows the family to enjoy time with each other while they can, away from their new normal of living with the dire circumstances of late-stage cancer. And so all that we experienced was at no cost, and it was overwhelming. I mean, my kids have never been able to sit at a restaurant and order whatever they wanted. And it was hard for them to look at this menu and see, you know, these high-dollar meals and just be able to get whatever they want. And at the same time, it was a great thing. In a thank you letter that we wrote to all who were involved, not just to the foundation, but all those out there in Arizona that were involved, we wrote this.
we have come away from the trip with a greater appreciation of God's grace because of all of you. Unearned, undeserved, lavish and extravagant favor, free for our enjoyment because of a great price paid by someone who loves us infinitely. The cost was great for our time at Wild Horse Pass. Time, energy, service, thought, and resources. I mean, they really thought of everything. I don't have time to tell you all the little things they did. All given by people who care deeply for families dealing with cancer. And the cost was greater still for God's own Son, Jesus Christ, who loved us enough to give His life that we might be free to know God as our Father. And I put that in there because, number one, it was true, and number two, that it's true. I hope if they didn't know it was true, they'll learn that. But more than that, we really came away just realizing God's grace and having had human grace, if you will, demonstrated to us in this gift. We came away understanding just how lavish God's grace is to us. Here's what I want you to take home this morning. If God's grace isn't just crazy ridiculous to you, then you don't get just how good it is. The first thing I want you to see, and I'm just going off of a sentence in that letter. The first thing I want you to understand about God's grace this morning is that God's grace is unearned. You know, like that trip, we did not earn that trip. That was something that I could never afford to give to my family. And it was given to me. It was unearned. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, Mike has already quoted it. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And just so we're clear from the very beginning this morning, you understand that God's grace to us so far outweighs the gift of even our trip to Arizona, the most incredible trip of our lives. But what God's given us in Jesus Christ, salvation from our sins, forgiveness. Listen to me. Not a 4-day deal, but an eternal relationship with God as our Father. Where He'll never leave us nor forsake us. That's what we're talking about. And that grace is unearned. If God's grace isn't just crazy ridiculous to you, then you just don't get how good it really is. But secondly, this morning, it's also undeserved. We didn't deserve that trip. That trip was given to us, our family dealing with cancer, because somebody cares about people with cancer, families dealing with cancer. We didn't deserve that trip. I mean, there are countless families that deal with cancer every day. And yet in God's providence it got hooked up and we got to enjoy it. It's undeserved. Romans 5 verse 8 reminds us of how that is with God. God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. Notice this. Not because we deserved it. Not when we had earned it. But while we were still sinners. That's when God loved us. He started this whole thing. He came to us while we're still sinners. He sent Christ then, when we were the most helpless, the most hopeless. As Paul would say, without hope and without God in the world, that's when Jesus showed up. Because of God's love, because of God's initiating grace. Grace, by its very definition, is undeserved. If it was deserved, it wouldn't be grace, right? It would just be a wage. And what does the Bible say our wages should be from God? What is it we actually justly earn? What is it that our works should, the pay they should get? Death. The wages of sin is death. And all have sinned, the Bible says, and fall short of the glory of God. But the free, the grace gift of God's eternal life. While we were still sinners, God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die. Showing that we never could deserve it. And showing that He was going to love us even though we didn't deserve it. By the way, when the whole story's all said and done, who gets the glory then? God does. It's all by grace. If God's grace isn't just crazy ridiculous to you, then you don't get just how good it really is. But thirdly this morning from Ephesians 1, grace is lavish and extravagant favor, free for our enjoyment because of a great price paid by someone who loves us infinitely. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14. I just want to walk through it. It's a lot of verses, but we'll go pretty quick here. Paul says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us," listen to these words, "with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ." Now, our 4 days in Arizona was chock full of worldly blessings. But guess what? Not all of them. In Christ, we've been given every spiritual or heavenly blessings in Christ. We've been given all blessings. It's at our disposal. What does that mean? That means all God's got to give, you can have. All the riches of God's grace, all the depths of His love, all the goodness of God is ours. We're heirs to that. Talk about that a little bit in the passage. Not just now, and yet, yes now, but for eternity. Even before verse 4 there, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. How many of you are holy and without fault? That's right. None of us. And yet God chose us and said, "Though you're not, I'm going to make you that way in my sight. I'm going to do for you what you can't do for yourself." And in Christ, that's what He's done. In Christ, God now sees us as holy. He sees you today as without fault. Now, does that mean God's dumb and doesn't know when you mess up? No. It means that He chooses to relate to you through the perfection and righteousness of Jesus Christ, whose righteousness covers you if you trust Him. Is that not just crazy ridiculous? I mean, that's good, isn't it? That's lavish and extravagant. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do. And look at this. And it gave Him great pleasure. You know, people at the foundation, they enjoy doing for families what they did for us last week. God delights in giving grace to us. God delights, like that song said, in saying to us, "Here, because of Christ and because of your relationship with Christ, here with me, you need to know, Greg, you need to know, Mike, Sharon, there is only grace. That's what I'm giving you in Jesus. There's only mercy. And you can believe me, it's enough for whatever is going on." Go ahead, Paul. Verse 6, "So we praise God for the glorious grace." Listen to the language. "He has poured out onto us who belong to His dear Son." How much grace do we get? A little bit? Just enough to handle it? He's poured it out on us. Let me tell you something. God's grace is more than enough. I mean, it's an extravagant amount. It's lavish. You know what that means? As we were enjoying the week in Arizona, you know, we were talking, and at one meal, Hannah said, "Daddy, this is what I want to eat, but it's $34. I don't think I can eat something that's $34. I said, "Well, baby, don't ever do it again." But today, and Dylan, you can thank me for that too later, son. But today, you can eat it. And I told the kids, I said, "Guys, here's the deal. There's people here that can afford this stuff. We're here because somebody else can afford it. We're here because somebody gave it to us. But there's people here that can actually do this." And I said, "You know what? The truth is, as awesome as it was, there is so much wasted money in places like that. So much wasted stuff
It's over and beyond. And on the economic level, that's not good. But I'll tell you what, I sure am glad on the grace level that God is even lavish and extravagant and even almost wasteful with His grace. He just pours it out on us. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son. Listen to that. That's high dollar currency right there, by the way.
Amen.
That's expensive stuff. And forgave our sins. He didn't hold anything back. He reached down deep and pulled out the most valuable in His treasury, His own Son. And He gave Him for you. That trip cost thousands of dollars. Let me tell you something. The price of the Son of God's life is infinite. And yet God gave His only Son. He has showered His kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. I don't know about you, but I need to read this every now and then, huh? I mean, I need to be reminded how crazy ridiculous God's grace is, because we forget, don't we? We forget how lavish and extravagant and free it is, and that it's always there, even when I don't feel like it's there, even when I'm messing up and won't let myself enjoy the grace that God's given me in Christ. God has now revealed to us His mysterious plan regarding Christ to fulfill His own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, He's not done with all these spiritual blessings. We have received an inheritance from God, not just all the now stuff, but future, eternal inheritance. For He chose us in advance, and He makes everything work out according to His plan. Let me tell you what all that means. He picked us before the world began. He set His love on us. He decided what He was going to do in sending His Son. And we have received an inheritance. And here's the good thing. He makes everything work out according to His plan. That means if He saved me, if He's set His love on you and taken hold of you and changed your life, He's given you an inheritance. And here's the deal. Everything in history will work out according to His purposes. That means you will get your inheritance one day. You know what? You could be an heir to somebody on this earth and never see that inheritance. You know that's possible? Why? That guy could, that relative could blow your inheritance before he ever dies and before you ever get it, right? See, nothing can come between us and our inheritance. God will ensure that we get to heaven in His presence, there where all pleasures are at His right hand. God's purpose was that we Jews who were the first to trust in Christ, this is Paul talking, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles, that's us, have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own. He marked you by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom He promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised and that He purchased us to be His own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify Him. In other words, not only has He given us an inheritance that He'll make sure we get, He's put a mark on us. If you will, He's put His seal in our lives, and it's the presence, the person of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. And the Spirit's work in us, showing us what's right and wrong, leading us in a life of love and service to others, to God and to those around us. That Holy Spirit is an encouragement and an assurance to us that we really are His. And you know what? If the Spirit of God lives in you, you know it, right? He makes Himself known. You find yourself loving like you couldn't love before. You find yourself having patience that you couldn't naturally have because the Spirit of God lives in you. You want to know Christ and be like Christ like you didn't before because the Spirit of God lives in you. And that's all encouragement that He will give us that inheritance. He will take us all the way to glory, all the way to heaven. One day. Ephesians 1 is an amazing passage. And it just underscores the fact that God's grace is lavish and extravagant favor, free for our enjoyment, because of a great price paid by someone who loves us infinitely. You know, I think here is really another aspect of what I want you to get this morning. It's there. It's lavish, it's extravagant, and it's free for you to enjoy. Here's our problem. I don't enjoy it that often as I should. You and I have trouble believing that He's really that good and that it's really that big. And we don't avail ourselves of it, right? Now, you know, last week when we were out in Arizona, here's what we could have done. Hey, we don't deserve this. We didn't earn this. Just crackers and water, please. We can't. Okay, we can't swim in that swimming pool. We can't get in that hot tub. Oh, I'm not worthy of a massage. Shoot. You can't see me. I'm not, but if you're giving, I'm there. Is that what we did? No, we enjoyed the gift. And you know what? That's what they wanted us to do. That's what He wants you to do. God's grace isn't just crazy ridiculous to you, then you don't get just how good it really is. Fourthly this morning, God's grace makes us truly free. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, Paul says, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." There is no condemnation. Let me just ask you, have you felt condemned lately? Just be honest. In the last week, 2 weeks, has there been a time when you felt condemned? You felt like God condemned you for whatever? You fill in the blank. This is yes, deal in America, this is no. Have you felt that? Why? Was it true? No. Why? Because we forget. We forget the goodness of God's grace. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Now, does that mean when we sin, it's no big deal, don't need to worry about it? No. It's sin, and it's what put Christ on the cross. We need to deal with it. But God no longer condemns us. The Spirit convicts us and lets us know, hey, that's not the right way to go. And I don't know about you, but somebody that's poured out lavish grace and mercy and love on me, I mean, just by nature of His grace, and by the work of the Holy Spirit, you know what? We don't need the law to tell us to do what's right. We want to do what's right now. We want to please the One who's been so good to us. So the Spirit convicts us to get us back on track so that we can walk in accordance with the way God wants us to walk, out of gratitude. Not to earn anything, but out of gratitude. But the Spirit of God never, as Christians, wants us to feel condemned. Because the Bible says there is no condemnation. None. For those who are in Christ Jesus. Now that's just about too good to be true, isn't it? But it's too good not to be true. It's too good that it is true. Grace makes us truly free, free from condemnation. Steve Brown made this statement, "Some people in the family of God will require things of you God never required. We'll tell you that God's angry when He isn't, and will make you feel ashamed and guilty when you shouldn't feel ashamed and guilty. But Christ has set you free from all of that." You know what religion's about? It's all about condemnation. It's all about rules and regulations and not meeting the requirements. Jesus came and gave us all grace and said, "Because of what I've done, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." And folks, if you're sitting there thinking, you know, that, Chad, you're pushing the limits of grace here. Oh, really? Can I ask you how you do that? I mean, if it's free and if it's extravagant, if it covers it all, if the Bible says there is no condemnation, how do you push the limits of grace? Here's another reason we don't enjoy grace sometimes, because we're scared of it. And we've had people tell us that we'll abuse it. If we take this seriously, if we really believe it's crazy ridiculous, just over the top good, and sufficient and wide and deep, then we'll abuse it. Really. And so then what we do is somehow we start taming this thing down. We keep it from being so wild and crazy. I mean, forget crazy, ridiculous. We explain it to where it makes sense, and all of a sudden, we reduce grace down, and inevitably we do it with conditions, rules, and regulations, and all of a sudden we've taken the grace out of grace. Take this statement home. Don't forget this one statement, and it may not be real polished, but take the sense of this next statement home. God does not need you to protect His grace. God does not need you or someone else to change you. Grace is just as big as we're talking about. And listen to me, the Spirit of God will take care of changing you and changing others in the likeness of Christ. Grace will never turn someone into a bigger sinner. You know what will? Trying to keep a list of rules. Legalism. Grace disciplines in our hearts with the love and kindness of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 goes on in this same thought. Christ has set us free to live a free life. That's what His grace is all about. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. Christ has set us free to live a free life. Do you feel free in the grace of God? Do you? Do you daily feel free as a bird on the wing in God's grace? Is that how you feel? It's how you should feel. When you think about God, do you feel a freedom? Because you know about His grace. Because you enjoy His grace. You realize what His grace means. Dare I say this? If you don't, then you're more focused on religious rules and regulations and whatever else you want to add to that category than the grace of Jesus Christ. And in short, when I do that, I'm barking at the wrong tree. If I want to become more like Jesus, I need to know more about His grace. I need to swim deeper in His grace and in His mercy.
Steve Brown said, many of us don't live free because we don't believe in a God who loves us enough to give us the gift of freedom. The story is told of Abraham Lincoln. He went to a slave market. There he noted a young, beautiful African-American woman being auctioned off to the highest offer. He bid on her and won. He could see the anger in the young woman's eyes and could imagine what she was thinking. Another white man will buy me, use me, and then discard me. As Lincoln walked off with his property, he turned to the woman and said, "You're free." "Yeah, what does that mean?" she replied. "It means that you're free." "Does that mean I can say whatever I want to say?" "Yes," replied Lincoln, smiling. "It means you can say whatever you want to say." "Does it mean," she asked incredulously, "that I can be whatever I want to be?" "Yes, you can be whatever you want to be." "Does it mean," the woman said hesitantly, "does it mean I can go wherever I want to go?" "Yes. It means you're free and can go wherever you want to go." "Then," said the woman with tears welling up in her eyes, "I think I'll go with you." And isn't that the deal? "I think I'll go with you." On my way home from Arizona, I thought to myself, I'd really like to meet the folks who made this trip possible. I have no idea who they are. I made contact with one person by phone from the foundation. I'd really like to thank them personally, face to face. I'd really like to get to know them better. Because their kind generosity is just crazy ridiculous. I don't know about you, but God's crazy ridiculous grace makes me want to know Him more and act more like Jesus. If grace isn't just crazy ridiculous to you, then you don't get just how good it really is. Last passage I want to share with you is not on the screen. Romans chapter 8. Turn your Bibles if you will. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39. Paul said, "What can we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? God did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. Won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for His own? Will God know? He is the one who has given us right standing with Himself. Who then will condemn us? Will Christ Jesus know? For He is the one who died for us and was raised to life for us and is sitting at the place of highest honor next to God pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or cold or in danger or threatened with death? Even the Scriptures say, 'For your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep.' No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from His love. Death came and life came. And all that life holds, right? The angels came and the demons came. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." And you know, even when you really mess up, that sin can't separate you from the love of God. Christ died for that. His grace is enough for even that. At a convent school, there was a basket of apples on the dining room table. A note under the basket, no doubt written by one of the good sisters there, says, "Take only one, God is watching." At the other end of the dining room table sat another basket filled with chocolate chip cookies, and in a child's handwriting, a note under the basket read, "Take all the cookies you want, God is watching the apples." The deal is, God's really watching both the apples and the cookies. In fact, He made both for you, and He'll be offended if you don't try some of each. There's a country song that's just powerful. It's called "Hurry Home" by a guy named Jason Michael Carroll. And it's about a man whose daughter has gone off and is living wild. She's doing the prodigal thing. She's just out there in the world. He has no idea where she's at. And he's been waiting for her to call, hoping she'll call. One morning he has to get up and go to work. But before he goes, he takes his guitar and he sings a few bars onto his answering machine, leaving a message for her. And it's the chorus of the song. It says, "It doesn't matter what you've done, I still love you. It doesn't matter where you've been, you can still come home. And honey, if it's you, we've got a lot of making up to do. And I can't hug you on the phone, so hurry home." Our God sings that. Our daddy sings that to us every day. If you're here today and you don't know God is your Father, that's what He's singing to you. It doesn't matter where you've been. Because of Christ, He still loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done. Because of Jesus Christ and His death on the cross and His resurrection, you can still come home. And God wants to hug you. He wants to be that in that kind of an intense and intimate relationship with you as your Father. No matter. And Christian friend, even you, even those of us who should know better, when we do it or don't do it anyway, that's still the message on the machine when we call the house. And He wants us to hurry home. I love that song because I want my kids to always know that's the deal. God the Father wants you to know that so much more than I want my kids to know it. The last slide. That's how we all feel about God's grace every day. Every day. It's that crazy ridiculous. It's just that good. No matter what we're facing. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for such grace. Lord, we know that our attempts to try to describe it, our efforts to try to talk about it have fallen way short of what it really is. But God, I pray that Your Spirit would take Your Word and make it just a little more real to us somehow. Lord, we come this morning to celebrate Your grace here at this table. I pray, Father, that this time would just sort of steal things from the message in our hearts. That as we take the bread and the juice, the symbols of Your broken body, Lord Jesus, and Your blood that was poured out on the cross for us, that God, we would just, in a fresh way, trust just how crazy ridiculous Your love and grace is toward us. That whatever it is that we've been unwilling to believe that it covers in our lives, that as we come to this table this morning, that we would let go of unbelief and take the gift, all the gift. Lord, I pray that there's some who don't know You today, that as we come to the table, that perhaps the first time they would come in faith, trusting Jesus, knowing that eating bread and drinking some juice saves nobody, but trusting Christ and demonstrating it outwardly with these signs is what saves. Lord, I pray that nobody would come to the table who doesn't trust Jesus. But if someone thinks all this is nonsense and does not believe that Jesus is our only hope, then God, that they just stay right there and not dishonor the high cost that You paid in giving Your own Son to die on a cross, to be tortured and killed for us. We're not worthy of this table. We're not worthy of Your grace. But God, You gave it and we come to take it. And we want to come in a way that shows just what it's worth. And that just means with hearts full of faith, simply trusting Jesus. Search us now, Lord. Know our hearts. Purify us. Help us to let go of sin. Help us to cling to grace as we come. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. Paul tells us that on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and you, sealed by the shedding of My blood. Do this in remembrance of Me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until He comes. You're saying to one another and to the world, Jesus' death saves." And we're going to do that every Sunday till the Lord comes, which I hope soon. Amen.
But he is coming. He's alive. He's not dead. He's no dead Savior. He rose from the dead. And he lives today. He makes intercession for you and I, day by day. So this morning, won't you come to the table?